The news this month is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
In the news this month: first results from Stardust released, Swift spies an unusual gamma ray burst, large mountain range spotted on Titan, and a survey finds more than 1,000 new galactic planetary nebulae. Early analysis of the particles collected by the Stardust spacecraft as it flew by Comet Vilt 2 in 2004 have resulted in many interesting samples of material. Much of the rock collected by the craft is typical of what was expected from a comet formed in the outer solar system, but some of the samples suggest that at least some material formed at higher temperatures near the Sun in the early solar system and somehow made its way to the outer reaches of the solar neighbourhood. It is thought that, due to cometary activity caused by coming close to the Sun, the surface layers of the comet will have been lost, so that any particles now released from the comet date back to the early stages of the solar system, allowing us to sample this early material. Most of the samples which have been analysed so far show the same composition as early inner solar system material from asteroids, but some of the samples are pre-solar grains, material from before the formation of our solar system. And some samples consist of minerals, which form at high temperatures and are usually found in meteorite inclusions, small spherical balls of rock formed when gases and liquids separate at high temperatures. These could only have formed very close to the Sun in the early solar system. These grains could have come from outside the solar system, although the results of isotope testing show that their composition is identical to that of known meteorites which formed in the inner solar system. This result shows that there was large-scale mixing of material in the early solar system. There are many more samples yet to be analysed, and more results are expected over the next few years. Observations from the Swift satellite have detected an explosion which does not fit into the current classes of known events. The gamma-ray bursts which the satellite studies are the result of violent events in other galaxies, which release enough energy that they can be seen easily here on Earth. Gamma-ray bursts, or GRBs, so-called because they emit large amounts of high-energy gamma radiation, are classified according to how long they remain bright. Short-duration GRBs last for less than 2 seconds, while long-duration GRBs can last much longer. The different classes are thought to be caused by different types of event. Long-duration GRBs usually occur in star-forming regions of galaxies and are often associated with detections of supernova explosions, while short-duration GRBs are seen to occur in regions of lower star formation and are thought to be associated with the merger of dense neutron stars. A burst recently detected by the satellite and reported in Nature during December does not fit into either of these classes. The event, known as GRB-060614, lasted for about 102 seconds, placing it in the long-duration category, while other features of its spectrum appear more like those expected from short-duration bursts. Unusually for a long-duration event, this GRB did not have an associated supernova event, despite searches of very deep images made with optical telescopes. Of all long-duration bursts, only one other has not been identified with a bright supernova explosion. These events challenge current models of GRBs, and the astronomers studying this event suggest a new classification scheme for GRBs should be introduced to include events such as these which do not fit with current theories. Images released by the Cassini team in December show a large mountain range on Saturn's largest moon, Titan. The images, taken by the spacecraft during a flyby of the moon on the 25th of October 2006, show the largest mountain range yet found on Titan. The range is 150 kilometres long, 30 kilometres wide, and 1.5 kilometres high at its tallest point. The images also show white patches near the top of some of the mountains, which could be a sort of snow composed of frozen methane from Titan's atmosphere. Infrared images, combined with radar data from other instruments on board the craft, are combined to give more detail about the shapes of surface features such as these, helping to determine the geological processes which formed them. Images taken during the same flyby also show further evidence for a volcano on the surface, with a fan-shaped feature which may be material flowing from a vent. Cassini's next flyby of Titan is scheduled for the 13th of January 2007. A team of researchers from 9 countries has completed an 8-year survey of the southern sky, hunting for new examples of objects known as planetary nebulae. Using the UK Schmidt telescope at Siding Spring Observatory in Australia, the team have imaged the Southern Galactic Plane and parts of the Large Magellanic Cloud, finding more than 1,000 new planetary nebulae in total. These spectacular objects are nothing to do with planets. Instead, they are the remnants of stars like our Sun when they reach the end of their lives. The core of the star shrinks and cools, becoming a white dwarf, while the outer layers are blown off, forming an expanding bubble of warm glowing gas. One of the questions the team want to try and answer is where the mass goes when one of these planetary nebulae is formed. Some of the mass of the original star stays in the white dwarf, while some becomes the expanding gas cloud. But up to 85% of the mass just disappears from sight, says Dr. Quentin Parker of the Anglo-Australian Observatory and Macquarie University, who led the study. Using the sensitive images from this new survey, the team have found very faint halos around 60% of the planetary nebulae seen in our galaxy, which had not been previously detected. These halos could explain where some of this missing mass ends up. And finally, a French satellite designed to look for extrasolar planets was successfully launched aboard a Soyuz rocket from Baikonur in Kazakhstan on the 27th of December. The KORO satellite, which stands for Convection, Rotation and Planetary Transits, will study stellar interiors as well as searching for planets around other stars within our galaxy. Most of the planets discovered so far are large gas giants similar in size or larger than Jupiter. Smaller rocky planets similar to the Earth are very difficult to detect from the ground because of their small size. The KORO satellite will observe many thousands of stars at a time using a 30-centimeter telescope and an array of CCD cameras. The aim is to detect the tiny dip in brightness of a star when one of these small planets passes in front of it. Jupiter-sized planets cause a dip in brightness of around 1%, while KORO will be sensitive to brightness variations of 0.01%. In addition, two of the spacecraft's four detectors will be used to look for seismic events on stars, a technique known as asteroseismology. Like the Sun, many stars experience oscillations similar to earthquakes we are familiar with on our own planet. By looking for these surface vibrations in other stars, the researchers, led by Annie Baglin of the Observatory of Paris, hope to determine details about the stars, such as their mass and internal structure.